Hello, FCS Nation. It's time for your show. I'm your host, Kevin Marshall. I'm coming to you this week from the glorious and wonderful Palmetto State of South Carolina. I'm in town this week and for another couple of weeks, really enjoying being home. Joining me like he does each week is the co-host of this program, the quarterback of this program, Mr. Stone Lebanowitz. Stone is coming to you from not so far away from me this week in the Sunshine State of Florida. Stone, some interesting ball games last week. Had some injuries last week to top quarterbacks. Had some quarterbacks play extremely well. Montana had a scare for a little while. All in all, pretty good week of FCS football.
Pretty damn good week of FCS football. Results, a lot of them that we knew were going to take place, but also some surprising ones that still finished on the side that, let alone me and you had predicted, let alone we figured would play out. But to see teams, I think off the top of my head, like Youngstown, win a 40-35 game just stands out as kind of the shining light game of week eight. It just goes to show kind of how things have ramped up around the FCS. And now, Kevin, we have some injuries into the fold that will definitely make things awkward and allow for other teams to get themselves into the mix. So week eight, very, very eventful.
Well, Stone, they didn't all shake out on the side that we predicted now. We do pretty good job in the pick segment in segment five, but we got to take our butt whipping and eat our crow sandwich when we're wrong. North Dakota proved me wrong and proved you wrong too. That was an impressive effort by then. We'll get to that in just a minute, but we got an awful lot of games to get to in a short time to get there. Let's get to it. Up first, number one, North Dakota State 38, Indiana State 7. Long weather delay, but this one ended like everybody thought it was going to.
It did. It ended that way. I talked about last week Indiana State being a very awkward place to play. Now, parlay that with the fact that you had to sit on your butts for over 2 hours in a weather delay. That doesn't help things. But something I always point out with these buys in games, 12 completions. It seems like he has the same stat line every single week, but they found the rhythm in the second half, and anytime you hold a team 3 of 13 on third down, you're going to win by a double-digit margin. And the Bison, they did just that. This is a number one squad, and dare I say, best they've looked through my eyes, and I don't know, like the last 3 years. And yeah, folks, they won a national championship in that time span. Go figure.
Number two, South Dakota State 35, Murray State 14. Could have been a very Pyrrhic victory, though, for the Jackrabbits. Chase Mason got hurt there in that ball game. Turf toe, they said, which can be a tricky injury, Stone.
Yeah, tricky is an understatement for turf toe. It is a mother, and there's not a lot you can do about it. And I think the older generation, you point your finger and you say, come on, you know, toughen up. It's not just your toe, it's your foot, it's your ankle, and it creeps up that calf, and you can feel it in your entire leg. Listen, folks, Jackrabbits are 7-0. They're 3-0 in the Valley. This is a top five team in the country. Once you get things figured out with Chase Mason, you'll be all right. If you don't, you might not be. You got a redshirt freshman in Luke Marble coming into the fold here, but he looked good. And I think it's easy to look at against Murray State, but Jackrabbits just left the game with a lot of question marks. And as we sit wherever you're listening right now, we don't have answers to a lot of those questions. So our fingers are crossed. We are praying for Jackrabbit faithful, because your Twitter fingers, and we know you guys probably haven't slept in days on end at this point.
Well, I thought he did a pretty good job, Stone. I mean, Luke Marble was a rock for the Jackrabbits. And yeah. Backup quarterback came in, 13 completions, 2 touchdowns, and 189 yards passing. Like our friend Brendan from Jackrabbit Illustrated said, they brought him in through the transfer portal from Northern Illinois for a reason, because they believe he can play for them, and he certainly played pretty well last week in relief of Chase Mason. Number three, Montana, 43, Sacred Heart 21. The score to this one was a little unsettling for a long time, but Montana did what they needed to do in that fourth quarter to pull away from Sacred Heart. That was a pretty decent football team. They came to Missoula and they played hard and they earned a lot of people's respect, Stone.
They did. They 100% did. But this is a Montana victory when it's all said and done. This is an undefeated Montana team whose quarterback played the best game I think he's played in a Montana Grizzlies uniform. So take that for what it's worth. And if you ask me, it's worth a hell of a lot. Ayat did damage, 5 through the air, 1 on the ground. When this kid gets going for these guys, I think it might be wraps for everybody else, because you're obviously going to have to go to Washington Grizzly in these next coming months. But I like to see Ayat doing his thing, because I remember conversations in week 0 and week 1 and also week 2, Kevin, that this kid hadn't even solidified the starting quarterback role. So it's always nice to see when these situations shake out just how they're supposed to. And Bobby Houck loves this squad, and was a fun one on deck.
Number 5, Tarleton State, 45. Number 22, West Georgia, 10. It appears the West Georgia train is over, and Tarleton State looked pretty darn good. They got healthy. They got the quarterback back, and this was really never a football game. They won it in all three phases. I think West Georgia, the depth factor a little bit is getting to them, playing with lesser numbers in a transition year. It was a great story for the Wolves for a while, and I bet they sneak somebody the rest of the way. They probably ought not to, but Tarleton State really did a nice job last week against West Georgia, a team a lot of people had struggled with. Number 6, North Dakota, 38. Number 8, Southern Illinois, 19. I know this one hurts your heart, Stone, but the Fighting Hawks, we can put to rest all those questions about can they play on the road, and is this the same bunch that struggled away from the Alera Center? I think they've proven that those things don't matter. A pinch of owl dung no more.
No, not at all. And Jerry Kaminsky, who I thought was going to do the most damage, had 70 yards passing. They dropped a 40 ball on Southern Illinois. I think it speaks to how bad this defense is and how bad they're playing. Right now, they can't stop a nosebleed. Sawyer Seidel just went off on them over 100 yards on the ground, and it just felt like North Dakota converted on every single third down that came across their ticker. This North Dakota team is good, and when I say good, I mean really good. And now, as we sit heading into week 9, I have question marks about Southern Illinois, because if you do find your way in the playoffs, you're not stopping anybody from scoring 28 to 30 points, no matter who it is, no matter what conference that they're from. So question marks on one side, North Dakota, not so many. This team's bona fide, man. They're really, really good. And Jerry Kaminsky, I feel like, came out of nowhere, but he's the guy there.
Number 7, Tennessee Tech, 52, Lindenwood, 28. This was another game marred by weather delays for the second week in a row for Tennessee Tech in bad weather. And it rained about as hard as it could rain there. It was a frog drowner there, Stone, or a toad drowner, or whatever you want to say. It poured in that football game last week, and Tennessee Tech still put up 52 points. Lindenwood, not the best opponent. Tennessee Tech, they keep getting it done, and they keep getting it done with gaudy offensive numbers. Been impressive so far. Youngstown State, 45. Number 10, Illinois State, 30. Illinois State's got problems. They got injuries. And Youngstown State, Bo Brungarter just runs a football, Stone. He's a football player. He's not just a quarterback. He reminds me of one of these cats that should be running the triple option at Army or Navy or Citadel, someplace like that. He's a football player, and I really like what Youngstown State did last week, and they have put themselves back in the top 25, and they have squarely put themselves back in the playoff race as well. This was kind of a playoff game for them, and all they did was go on the road and score 45 points against the number 10 ranked team in the country. Impressive doings by the Penguins.
On paper, literally, go on the road in the Valley, mid-October, and give Illinois State, a top 10 squad, a 45 burger. Try that one on for size. It's really cool to watch football and how it evolves over the years. I never, ever, in my wildest dreams, imagined a Youngstown State and Illinois State game totaling 75 points. It's almost big sky level point scoring. Rittenhouse is good, but Kevin, what is that cologne that some clubs like to wear on Saturday nights out in the town in mid-October? Desperation, and the Penguins played with it. They rocked it, and they went home with a baddie, and they scored. This is a massive, massive win, and it keeps them alive. It keeps them alive, first and foremost.
Southern Utah, 31. Number 17, Abilene Christian, 24. Called this one. It was my major upset special of the week. Haven't liked Abilene Christian for a while. They have played pretty good ball games, but they've also come out flat. They came out flat again, and it cost them, Stone. And we talked for several weeks that Southern Utah was a squad you don't want to play around with. They were going to put it all together one week, and you just had to hope it wasn't against you. Well, for Abilene Christian, they found out that it was against them, and that really cost them. Not only just the 31-24 defeat at the hand of the Thunderbirds, but this really hurts them in playoff position. You got to win out, I think, if you're Abilene Christian, to have that shot to get to the postseason. It's time for us to take a break. Like to remind you, the review segment is brought to you by GameStrat.
Looking to gain a real edge on game day? GameStrat is the number one choice for in-game video in the FCS and is trusted by championship programs at every level. With instant access to in-game video, lightning-fast uploads, and no internet required, GameStrat helps coaches make real-time adjustments that win football games. It's easy to use, ultra-reliable, and backed by top-rated support. Don't settle for less. Upgrade to GameStrat and keep up with what the top programs in the country are choosing for their in-game video. Visit GameStrat.com to learn more and schedule your demo today. That's GameStrat.com.
And we're back. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. Well, Stone, let's put a bow on last week. Here are the FCS Nation National Offensive and Defensive Players of the Week, brought to you by Northwestern Mutual. The FCS Nation National Offensive Player of the Week is quarterback, Montana Grizzlies, Kaylee Ayat. Ayat was 27 of 33 for 349 yards and 5 touchdowns. That's right, you heard it right. 5 touchdowns, and he added a rushing touchdown as well. The FCS Nation National Defensive Player of the Week, brought to you by Northwestern Mutual, is Jalen B. Lee, safety, South Dakota State. Lee had 5 tackles and 2 interceptions in the red zone to turn away the Murray State Racers. Congratulations to Kaylee Ayat, quarterback, Montana, and Jalen B. Lee, safety, South Dakota State, for being named FCS Nation National Offensive and Defensive Players of the Week, brought to you by Northwestern Mutual. And I hold in my hand the FCS Nation Top 25 for Week 8. Number 1, the North Dakota State Bison. Number 2, the South Dakota State Jackrabbits. Remaining number 3, the Montana Grizzlies. Rising to number 4, the North Dakota Fighting Hawks. And falling to number 5, the Montana State Bobcats.
Kevin, North Dakota at number 4, clearly the story here. Take people through a little ride on the decision.
Well, they have absolutely whipped all hell out of 2 ranked teams the last 2 weeks. One of them on the road, one of them being Southern Illinois on the road. So, North Dakota has done some things. And these other squads, well, they've done things too, but not nearly as recently against that good of opponents. It's nothing against the Bobcats. It's nothing against Tarleton State. They've done what they have supposed to have done, but North Dakota's just done it against pretty decent FCS competition the last couple of weeks, and that needed to be rewarded in my eyes. And I feel like this is all going to start to shake itself out the next 2-3 weeks to a month anyway, Stone. So you can take 2 through 5, maybe 2 through 6, and put them in a boggle thing, throw them out, and just about any combination, you're going to be right. I, of course, prefer mine, and I don't mind being right, I might tell you. Number 6, Tarleton State. Number 7, Tennessee Tech. Number 8, Monmouth. Number 9, UC Davis. And rising to number 10, Lehigh. UC Davis is the riser that intrigues me the most, because I haven't had them ranked as high as other people have, mostly because that game against Mercer was a no contest, and it didn't look like they were going to win it. And the people that they've been playing hadn't been all that great. Now, they did beat Northern Arizona, which was impressive, but Northern Arizona's fading fast. They're out of our poll this week. But they have Caden Pinnick, and you have good quarterback play this time of the year. It can take you a long way, and the defense is pretty good as well. Rising to number 11, Lamar. Number 12, the Mercer Bears. 13 is Jackson State. Number 14 is Harvard. And number 15 is the Villanova Wildcats.
Kevin, Mercer makes the jump from 14 to 12 here. Kind of why is that? And very similar line of questioning to Monmouth. This is not a team that everybody watches every single week, but it's a bona fide playoff team. Talk about Mercer a little bit.
Quarterback play has been excellent. And just like UC Davis, it's a true freshman. It's amazing these guys are doing what they're doing at this high of a level, considering they were playing high school ball this time last year. The Mercer Bears defense seems to have rounded into shape somewhat. It's still a little bit of a question mark, but Mercer is a team that has really fought and clawed to get back right now to where they were to start the season. And I think they've done that. Number 16 is Southern Illinois, falling to number 16. Entering the poll at number 17, the Western Carolina Catamounts. Coming back into the poll with number 18, Youngstown State. Falling to number 19, Illinois State. And number 20 is Stephen F. Austin.
Welcome back to the party. I hope you have your dancing shoes on, Western Carolina. Kevin, Teron Dickens, somebody you've had a chance to see now up close and personal against your El Cid Bulldogs here. Talk a little bit about what kind of player he is and why you believe that he's the best player in the entire subdivision.
The guy just does things back there throwing the football that a grown man shouldn't be able to do. And he's accurate. He can extend the play. And if you give him the smallest bit of window to throw it through, he's going to fit that pigskin right through it. He's a very impressive player. I challenge all FCS people, get your eyeballs on a Western Carolina game. And if you don't come away with that same conclusion, you don't know what you're watching. You don't know what you're talking about. And it's not close, I don't think. Cole Payton and some other around the subdivision are great players, but Teron Dickens has put up better numbers than them in 3 less games, Stone. He's played 3 less games and has the best numbers of anybody throwing the football in the entire subdivision. It's just tremendous what he's doing there in Cullowhee, North Carolina.
Kevin, I don't like to toot my own horn, but wasn't there a certain somebody? I'm kidding, I do. Wasn't there a certain somebody who told everybody Teron Dickens was just going to shatter scoreboards week in and week out and that he's the best quarterback in the country?
Yeah, but you said he was going to Charleston to break the scoreboard, and that didn't happen. Our boys kept that ball game to within a touchdown. It was an impressive effort by the Citadel defense. Number 21, the Presbyterian College Blue Hose. Number 22, the Austin Peay Governors. Number 23, the Southeastern Louisiana Lions. Entering the poll at number 24, the Duquesne Dukes. And after an absence of a couple of weeks, welcome back to the Rhode Island Rams, number 25.
Kevin, Presbyterian, the squad led by head coach Steve Englehart. I think this is one of the coolest stories in the subdivision in this 2025 to 2026 season. Would you agree? And do you see this team kind of making some noise in the playoff? We've seen them win games that they should not have.
I think so. But look, conference games are conference games. They have a tough one this week. They've got to handle their business in the Pioneer League. It's a great story. I've been to Presbyterian College many, many times. When I was enrolled at South Carolina's Military College, I may have even dated a girl who went to Presbyterian College. So, you know, I've been there several times, several hundred times, and it's a place that's kind of the best thing you can say about Clinton, South Carolina, and the fact there's a top 25 FCS football team that plays in that little town is tremendous. It's time for us to take a timeout. When we come back, Stone and I will preview the biggest games taking place in FCS football this week. I know you'll want to hang out for that. We'll be right back. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. Thanks for hanging with us during the break. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Networks. Now time for the preview segment. This is where Stone Labanowitz and I take a quick trip all over FCS Nation, and we preview the biggest games taking place in FCS football this week. Up first, number one, North Dakota State at number two, South Dakota State, the Dakota marker game. This is a huge game, Stone. Number one versus number two. Godzilla versus whoever Godzilla fought in all them movies, right? It's like if you have Muhammad Ali facing off against Mike Tyson. Pick your own hyperbole. Pick your own character from history here, Stone. You can't. This is the biggest game in a long time, and it's the biggest game in FCS each year. You'd like for South Dakota State to come in with everybody healthy. Dan Jackson's been playing extremely close to the vest this week about Chase Mason. I believe he'll probably try to give it a go, Stone. How effective he's going to be, who knows? But we do know who's going to play quarterback for North Dakota State, right? And he's been the difference maker in just about every one of the NDSU ball games this season, right? I don't know if it matters if Chase Mason's 100% healthy and never got hurt in this ballgame. NDSU is a wagon, and I'm not sure if anybody beats them. But the Jackrabbits at their place, Dakota marker game, man, it's going to be a war. Can't wait.
Yeah, it is going to be a war, and I think for the sick in the head South Dakota State Jackrabbit fans, I'm going to whisper this. And I struggled with saying this publicly or even preparing to say this publicly. I think Jackrabbit fans are not upset that Chase Mason is not playing Saturday because North Dakota State is a wagon. And now you have a built-in excuse as to why this game didn't matter, why there would have been a different result had Chase Mason played. They didn't have their guy, their best player on their team. All of these excuses are going to be thrown out as soon as that first quarter ends and North Dakota State finds themselves up 14. I don't think at this stage it matters who the Bison play. Like you said, they're a wagon. They're going to throw you to the ground and then curb stomp you until you have no more oxygen left, until there's no more time on that clock. He's day-to-day. Dan Jackson closing off practices. I, too, think we're going to see Chase Mason out there, but how effective? I don't know. Third and four, third and six. This is South Dakota State's bread and butter. They're going to put the ball in Mason's hands, give an extra blocker, a lot of QB power, a lot of QB counter. I don't think you can put that in the game plan, so you got to dig a little deeper into your bag here. Excited to see what they do, and excited to see if Luke Marble ends up playing and goes out there with that I have nothing to lose mentality. Take this for a first and 10 shot down the field, and if they connect, things could go weird. They are in Brookings.
Number three, Montana is at Sacramento State. Well, you know, the JV is going to visit the varsity here, Stone, and maybe the Grizz fans will travel well. You know, maybe they won't. You know, it just depends upon who you ask, or I don't know. You've ever seen a road game involving the Montana Grizzlies before in your life? Evidently, the president of Sacramento State hasn't. He's never seen Grizz fans fill up his own stadium before, because it's happened. But very uncharacteristic characteristic of Bobby Houck this week in his press conference. Called that dude a clown, Stone. I mean, you don't really get that type of stuff from the Bobby Houck press conference very often. But his football team is 6-0. His football team is led by a quarterback who is getting better each week. An insane running back. The only question mark is a defensive secondary, and they're going to get a little healthy this week. Not a good matchup for Sac State. And I don't know, man. My mom always said, don't motivate the opponent. Don't run your mouth, especially when you ain't big enough to do anything about it, Stone.
Yeah, there's no doubt. We can talk all this blowout stuff that we want to and how this is a bad matchup for Sacramento State, but somebody, and I mean somebody, anybody, please explain to me why this is a 3.5, and you can find the number 3 elsewhere. Point spread for these two in this matchup. That confuses me. That makes me scratch my head. That makes me think that Sacramento State's going to show up in this game, but I've done this once before. I've ridden this train. Sac State, South Dakota State, week one in a big game. They didn't show up. This one's at home, so you don't have to play in front of that fan base. That does help a little bit. But Kevin, I don't really know where I'm going with this one in the pick segment because we're looking at a 3.5 point spread, and we've seen Montana come out of the gate slow. And if Sac State does punch them in the mouth right out of the gates, we're going to have ourselves a ball game. So I just have my feet up. I'm going to have a couple of bowls of popcorn. I'm going to have a soda pop. And I'm going to enjoy this one, win or lose. And yeah, you talked about Bobby Howe. Uncharacteristic, but thank you so much, Bobby, for showing some personality. That was big time. And I think that'll go a long way for his locker room, too. They're going to show up and try to make a fool out of these guys.
Indiana State is at number 4, North Dakota. Man, you got to figure Indiana State wants to get the hell out of the Missouri Valley Football Conference, don't you? Last week, who'd you play? Bison. This week, the Fighting Hawks at the Alera Center. Yikes. Indiana State could be really good, Stone. They could be really good every year. But you have to question is, well, you can be really good, Sycamores, but who you going to beat? Who you going to beat to show that you're really good? The answer is not any of those teams. And I don't think it's going to be North Dakota at the Alera Center on Saturday afternoon either. Number 5, Montana State is at Cal Poly. Cal Poly is much improved this year. Paul Wolf's done a good job building that program up a little bit. Montana State was idle last week, licked their wounds a little bit, got healthy. Justin Lansom has done everything the Bobcats could have hoped for at the quarterback position, plus some, plus be a plus runner in that QB running game. He's not Tommy Mellott, nobody is, but he's done things that have opened up that offense. I expect him to open it up some more. Taco Dower down the field, catching touchdowns. This game could be pretty high scoring, Stone. I like this game to be somewhere in the mid-30s. I think Montana State is going to be able to score more, but Cal Poly will hang around for a while and make a pretty decent ball game of this, I do believe.
This is a game where you want to open up the playbook. This is a Cal Poly team who has played good in spurts throughout the season, but just a whole nother animal, a whole nother beast coming into town. And I know these Montana schools and these northern schools like the Dakotas love going, not that the Dakotas go to the West Coast all the time, but these Montana schools go out to the West Coast in October, November, where that weather is still good, where you can still air it out with ease. I think Justin Lamson, just try to be efficient again, complete 70, 80% of your passes like you always do and get out of here with the victory. You got to make this one not a lot to see. If you don't, we're getting a game in the mid-30s, like you said.
Number 6, Tarleton State is at Eastern Kentucky. Eastern Kentucky played pretty well 2 weeks ago. They played poorly last week. Which Eastern Kentucky team shows up and will it really matter against this Tarleton State team? That remains to be seen, and that's worth the price of tuning in. I think it'll be a very interesting game there for at least a minute. Eastern Kentucky is a proud program. They're extremely competently led, and they're at home. Tarleton State's going to go into an environment there at Eastern Kentucky that is a lot like the one they play in at home. Pretty hostile, big crowd, nice stadium, good atmosphere. They haven't had a lot of that on the road. Be interesting to see how the Texans respond.
It will be, but it's where we struggle to predict, preview, sometimes rank these powerhouse Missouri Valley squads like North Dakota State, South Dakota State, that mix in and match in just because they dominate folks. And there's also not a lot of storylines coming out of it when Saturday and all the dust settles. This Tarleton State squad, they're just going to delete Eastern Kentucky off the face of the planet Earth. And you got Vic back and you've watched Trey Page go out with injury and it just seems like they've reloaded. They got other guys and they got extra straps in the holster. So they're going to go just as hard as they always have. And Eastern Kentucky, we've seen them lose lopsided by big, big, big margins. I don't see anything changing here. This Tarleton State squad is just as much of a wagon, I think, as the North Dakota State Bison and the Titans of the FCS right now.
SEMO is at number 7, Tennessee Tech. Tennessee Tech is back home. You know they want to start quickly this week, Stone, and maybe have an easier time of it than they had the last couple of weeks against SEMO, who is just mediocre this year. They're rebuilding, and they've found out that quarterbacks like Paxton DeLorean don't come along all the time. So, playing a young man at quarterback, living with the growing pains, SEMO will be good next year. This year, it's all about getting experience for some young guys, and Tennessee Tech has their eyes on much, much bigger things. Number 8, Monmouth is at Hampton. Look, I want to make all these games sound as interesting as I possibly can, but this one will be interesting because Monmouth's probably going to have to play the backup quarterback. It didn't matter last week. Not sure it's going to matter this week because Hampton is not good, and we'll just see if Monmouth does have the depth at the quarterback position that we believe they do.
We will. I think that's the storyline going into it, and it's got to be the storyline coming out of this thing, is how can they fill that role? Speaking of Tarleton State, we've seen them fill that role. We've seen other teams around the country. We are also watching South Dakota State to see if they can fill that role. Obviously, not an easy position when there is a hole to fill it. We got to see if they're going to do that. But nonetheless, I don't think Hampton can press them enough and make them sweat. I don't think it matters who's behind center right now. This Monmouth team has to prove that all other 21 guys on the field are good enough to make this a top 10 team. This one is watchable for just a different set of reasons.
Number 9, UC Davis is at Northern Colorado. Northern Colorado, Stone, I saw somebody say, is a bad replay away, a better play call last week on the goal line at the end of the game, and 3 points in another ball game this year from being a top 15 team. That's a lot of ifs there, right? And, you know, if a bullfrog had wings, he wouldn't bump his ass when he hopped. So Northern Colorado is going to want to make this game ugly. That's all they know is ugly, physical football games. And if Davis allows that, they're going to be in for a fight, Stone, especially in Greeley.
Yeah, I think the assignment that comes across your desk, if you're Caden Pinnick, a young Caden Pinnick at that, is that you're going to get heated up on third downs. That is what NoCo does the best, I think, better than anybody in the Big Sky. And there are some good defenses. There's some stout defenses out there. But I think this is a game where UC Davis, you got to assert your dominance. And I think there are games where you drop and you have a low level and you lay a stinker. This has the makings of one because NoCo is not a slouch, but we got to see it from Caden Pinnick. And I think if we do, there are no more questions. This UC Davis team is headhunting the rest of the season. They truly are.
Number 10, Lehigh is at Fordham. Fordham's won one ball game. Lehigh has grown, in my estimation, every week of this football season. They're not sexy. They don't do a lot of things on offense that make you go, wow, look at that. They just show up and whip your butt, Stone, on both sides of the ball up front. Lehigh an impressive squad. I don't believe Fordham is going to have a whole lot of say in what goes on in this particular ball game here, sir.
One thing that this team does really well is run the football, and that is what pushes teams through late in the season in the subdivision, and Lehigh can do that just about as good as anybody. And Fordham, defensively, they're letting up like 7-8 yards a pop, so this one doesn't bode well for these guys.
Number 11, Lamar is at Northwestern State. Lamar has needed late game dramatics the last 2 weeks to win, but like Al Davis said, Stone, just win, baby. And that's what Lamar has been doing. If they need that this week against Northwestern State, I might have to think about buying a ticket on another team's train, because Northwestern State is not good. They've won one game in 2 football seasons. Lamar, this is your ultimate get right road trip of the season. Go to Northwestern State, score in the 30s, lead from Jump Street, and feel a whole lot better about yourself when this one's over. The Virginia Military Institute is at number 12, Mercer. If you're Mercer, the military schools generally give everybody a lot of problems in the Southern Conference. You already whipped the Citadel, and VMI is not as good as the Citadel is. Handle this business at home against the Institute, and then start looking forward to that game against Western Carolina. It's going to be huge in a couple of weeks' time. Grambling State is at number 13, Jackson State from Las Vegas. Stone, this game is in Vegas. I wish we were there, dude. We got to put this Las Vegas HBCU Classic on our calendar for next year, dude.
Just pay attention. This has the makings of a sneaky game of the week. And typically when we've said that throughout the season, Kev, it's come to fruition. So I think this is one of them right here. Got a feeling.
Number 14, Harvard is at Princeton. Well, Harvard, it all starts at the quarterback position for the Crimson Stone. That dude, Craig, can spin it. And he keeps them on schedule. He is that offense. Gets them in the right plays. gets the blocking assignments the way that he wants them, knows when to change that play to a run play. He's an impressive quarterback. He has all the skills. He can make all the throws. And Harvard, I think, and Mercer are very similar in how they play the game. Maybe Mercer has better players at some positions than Harvard does, but we've seen that team, Mercer, go to Princeton and put it on them, and Harvard and Mercer are very similar, I think, and I expect probably Harvard goes to Princeton and puts it on the Tigers. I just don't really see a whole lot of a way that Princeton keeps this one close. UAlbany is at number 15, Villanova. Talked about it last week, Stone. Villanova's been playing really good ball since that loss to Monmouth. Really good ball. Last week, they beat the hell out of Hampton. Like, just, I mean, this thing was, I think it was 49-0 at the half, Stone. So Villanova's a football team that got those offensive question marks sorted out. They got their stuff in a pile on the offensive side of the ball, and that's always been the question mark with Villanova. Defense is going to be there. Can the offense be good enough to be competitive and to win football games? The answer to last month has been yes. UAlbany, it's been a disappointing season yet again for the Great Danes, but the great thing about late season ball games in seasons that are going to end up being forgettable is that you can get things done for next year. And if you're UAlbany, got to start looking at who's going to play for us next year. Who is going to be the guy at this position, that position next year? So maybe we see some names for the Great Danes we haven't seen on the offensive and defensive side of the ball a lot yet. And maybe that gives Villanova some trouble. That is the hope that springs eternal for UAlbany on Saturday.
You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network.
Thanks for hanging with us during the break. You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. It's now time for my favorite time of the week, y'all. This is the pick segment. This is where Stone Labanowitz and I butt face mask, and we pick the biggest games taking place in FCS football. Up first, number one, North Dakota State is at number two, South Dakota State, in the Dakota Marker game.
Happy holidays for all those who celebrate. This is hands down the best game of the year. Screw what they're talking about with the Brawl of the Wild. The wagon that we talked about in the North Dakota State Bison, they will be a pulling. North Dakota State wins this ball game 38 to South Dakota State's 20.
Lots of intrigue behind who is going to play quarterback for the Jackrabbits. There ain't none of that for the Bison. It's going to be Cole Payton. And just like every other game so far, he'll make all the difference. Take number one, North Dakota State, on the road over number two, South Dakota State. Bison win 28-24. Number three, Montana is at Sacramento State.
I talked about in the preview segment, why on earth is this a 3.5-point spread? I still don't know the answer to that. I don't think I ever will. I think Montana wins this game 28 to Sacramento State's 17. What we think is going to be a high-scoring affair, folks, I don't think it will be. Yeah, it's going to be efficient, though, and they'll get out of here with a victory.
Montana struggled a bit the last time they hit the road, and the Hornets are not a bad team, but the Grizz bring a whole lot of offense to the table, and that side of the ball will get the job done. Take number three, Montana on the road over Sacramento State. Grizz, 31-20. Indiana State is at number four, North Dakota.
Poor trees here. North Dakota lays it on them, 42-10.
This North Dakota Fighting Hawks team is on a mission. Get eyeballs on them this week, y'all. It's an impressive bunch. They'll clear cut the trees here. Take number four, North Dakota at home, 38-10. Number five, Montana State is at Cal Poly.
I love Montana State in this game. I think you think Cal Poly will put up a fight. I sure do not. Justin Lampson, just be efficient. Go throw touchdowns. Go complete every single pass that you throw. Montana State, the Bobcats, they win this thing, 35 to Cal Poly's 13.
Take number five, Montana State on the road over Cal Poly, 34-17. Number six, Tarleton State is at Eastern Kentucky.
A lot of man coverage Eastern Kentucky is known for, and that on paper spells doomsday against this Tarleton State squad. And Victor Gabal's look for them to light up a scoreboard. 52 to Eastern Kentucky, 17.
As I stated in the preview segment, the Colonels of EKU have played good ball at times this season. They can play their best ball of the season in this one, and it won't matter. Take number 6, Tarleton State, on the road over Eastern Kentucky. Texans win 42-21. SEMO is at number 7, Tennessee Tech.
I don't think that SEMO is going to be able to stop Tennessee Tech a single time in this game. I want to predict them over 50, but I'm going to go a hair under it here. Give me the Golden Eagles 48 to SEMO's 14.
Very slow starts to ball games for Bobby Wilder's Tech team the last couple of weeks. Well, they're back at home, and they'll start SEMO off quickly, and they'll finish them off quickly. Tech number 7, Tennessee Tech, at home over SEMO, 42-14. Number 8, Monmouth is at Hampton.
Monmouth, no D-Rob, no problem here. Give me the Hawks, 38 to Hampton's, 18.
I agree with you. Won't matter who plays quarterback for Monmouth this week because Hampton stinks out loud. Monmouth wins on the road over Hampton, 45-10. Number 9, UC Davis is at Northern Colorado.
This one right here, this is the high-scoring affair. Punch the clock, whatever that total is, jam it. Close your eyes, blindly throw a dart, you're going to hit. UC Davis, although, comes out victorious, 45 to Noco's 32.
I expect this to be a tough, physical, and ugly game because that's all Northern Colorado knows how to play. I think that the Aggies quarterback, Caden Pennick, he's going to make one more play for his team, though. And number 9, UC Davis will escape on the road over Northern Colorado. Take the Aggies, 24-21. Number 10, Lehigh is at Fordham.
Lehigh and Lehigh only here, 35 to Fordham's 20.
Lehigh's having a very solid season. All they have done is win, and the defense has gotten better every week. They'll handle Fordham without any problem on the road. Number 10, Lehigh wins 38-13. Number 11, Lamar is at Northwestern State.
Buckle up, Northwestern State. Here you're going to have to because this thing is going to get messy, and you're doing some tumbling here. Give me Lamar to keep the train a-chugging. 30 to Northwestern State's 7.
No need for late-game heroics for Lamar here. Take number 11, Lamar, on the road, 35-13. VMI is at number 12, Mercer.
Mercer is the team that is going to win this football game. You can just say that plainly here. Mercer, 30 to VMI's 17.
Mercer's finally clawing their way back up to where they started the season, and they'll keep climbing here. Number 12, Mercer wins at home over VMI, 31-14. Grambling versus number 13, Jackson State from Las Vegas.
The LV Classic here. Gotta love it. I think Jackson State wins this game in a last-second field goal, 30-28 over Grambling in what is, like I said, a sneaky game of the week, a potential one at that. I love this matchup, Kevin.
I don't think it's sneaky at all, Stone. I think Jackson State going to dominate this thing from Jump Street. All Jackson State. They'll whip Grambling. Tigers win 38-10. Number 14, Harvard is at Princeton.
Harvard a lot. Princeton, not a lot. Give me the Crimson. 35 to Princeton's 6.
The Crimson have their eyes set on the Ivy League title in the FCS playoffs. No hiccup here. Take number 14, Harvard, over Princeton, 35-24. UAlbany is at number 15, Villanova.
This Villanova team's not being talked about just as much as they should. This is a better team than we've seen in the past that is a playoff team. They're the better one of the bunch. I'm telling you that. Pat McQuaid going to light up Albany here. Give me Villanova and David Avid, honorary captain, FOS, friend of the show. 42 to Albany's 20.
I agree. Not a whole lot to see here. Villanova will roll over the Great Danes, 38-14.
Kev, before we get out of here, I got to ask, is there a certain game you're going to this week that maybe we could add on to this list?
Well, Stone, I'm so glad that you asked, sir. Yes, I will be at the Citadel versus Furman game at Furman in Greenville, South Carolina. And I tell this story wherever I go on the radio like I have this past week. Everybody has a nice rivalry. That's a real nice thing they got in Montana. That's a real nice Dakota Marker rivalry they have. But it's not a real rivalry until there's been roadside mascot murder. And that has taken place between the Citadel and Furman. My mother went to Furman, and in my family, we go to the Citadel. And so picking this one, give me the Cadets to beat Furman 27-24.
You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network.
Back in action, FCS Nation. As always, my tone slips down a little bit for my favorite segment of the entire week, the honorary captain of the week. And joining me all the way up in Grand Forks, home turf, the Alera Center, one of the hardest places to play. I'm trying to quiz you guys and lead you into this, but can't do it much longer. North Dakota Fighting Hawk, Caden Vig. Caden, thank you so much for taking time out of your game week, big one, against Indiana State at home this weekend. Thanks so much for taking time out of that week to chop it up with the FCS Nation.
Yeah, no problem.
And JJ Safransky, Managing Director up there in that Dinger Network office. JJ and FOS, a friend of the show. Not his first rodeo here, folks. When you hear his voice, it will be oh so familiar. JJ, you as well. Busy week being a fan of these Fighting Hawks. Thank you for taking time out of that to join FCS Nation, chop it up, and kind of give FCS Nation an inside scoop on to who Mr. Caden is behind that face mask and underneath that bucket. Appreciate you, sir.
Happy to be back.
The cause, the partnership, what the heck we're doing here. I think it's really cool that our audience has a chance to kind of get taken around the country and get to know some of these young athletes who are leading the charge and trying to put an end to childhood cancer, or just trying to help childhood cancer in any way, shape, or form, whether that's raising money, awareness, showing face in community, all of those things. That is what we're doing here, but just taking a deeper dive into everything. JJ, it's your guys' third season being a part of this thing. I will get into the number that we have reached in 2.5 seasons, but how cool to see this thing grow from year one when you were thrown into the mix and there was only, you know, 9 to 11 athletes, and now we're almost approaching that 20 number. Did you think that we'd get here?
Yeah, it's really cool to see. I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's obviously the cause is something that a lot of people can get behind. And unfortunately for me, we have too much connection to this personally. So it's something, you know, easy for us to get behind and rally behind. So it's really cool to see, you know, obviously you look at FCS and it's pretty tight knit, you know, regardless if it's around the country. So it's even now a couple of the new athletes I saw, you know, what office they're out of. And, you know, we have a relationship with some of their managing directors. So it's pretty cool just to see people rallying behind this and, you know, getting more people on the bus. And at the end of the day, we're all raising money for the same cause. So it's awesome.
Simply the same cause, Alex Lemonade Stand and their foundation. And I will let JJ kind of expand on Northwestern Mutual and ALSF and the foundation and kind of their relationship and how it's grown. It's been almost a decade, all of those things. But Caden, to you, when you were approached by JJ and the rest of his crew up there in Grand Forks in that Dinger Network office, I start with this all of the time. Anytime I have an honorary captain on the show, this, in my opinion, and I don't necessarily think it's my opinion, I think it's fact, is different on the NIL front than anything that you'll find in the FCS. We are one of one. We're the only ones that exist, the only ones that are athlete-led when it comes to this. And the only NIL initiative, I'll call it, where these athletes are the ones doing everything, right? And they're the ones that you are backing in all of this and showing face. Do you kind of see it in the same light?
No, yeah, for sure. No, I think it's one of those things. It's a great cause. I'm proud to be named the honorary captain.
And why does Caden fit the mold, JJ? What was it about him that made you guys go after him and kind of make him and choose for him to be the representative in all of this?
Yeah, I think one of the cool things was Caden's hometown is very close to mine. So, you know, growing up, we had a nice 9-man rivalry amongst schools. So, you know, we're very familiar with each other's hometown. So that was pretty cool, just being Northern Minnesota. And, you know, I actually reached out to Coach Schmidt and just said, hey, you know, here's what we're looking to do. Who are some of the guys that, you know, fit that mold? We're looking for high character guys, you know, guys who can truly rally behind this and buy in. And Caden was one of the first names he brought up. So, you know, we were really excited to make this partnership happen. And we were excited when we reached out to Caden that he was, you know, more than willing to join the cause as well.
Pretty cool perspective for everybody out there listening. No matter where you're listening from, just to know that the head coach of a Division I football team, a top 4 team in the entire country at that, is pointing to a certain player on his team saying, hey, he fits the mold. He fits for what you guys are trying to do for a plethora of reasons that JJ kind of just named here. Northwestern Mutual, FCS Nation, Alex Lemonade Stand, we're teaming up to help raise funds. Each player has dedicated their season to helping the kids with cancer. And you, as fans of the Fighting Hawks, or you, as general fans of the FCS, the most pure form of football that exists, you can help by donating, pledging a dollar amount. It could be a dollar, could be $10, could be $5. And there are also other ways to get in to the donation side of all of this without having to pull your wallet out, which I will let JJ kind of speak on a little bit later. There was a quote that Chris Schenkel dropped that stuck out to me. Chris Schenkel, by the way, the man with the plan, the man spearheading all of this, taking us, driving the ship, all of the above. He said watching fandom turn into real impact was something that was important to him. That was a quote that he came up with himself. JJ, when you look at this Fighting Hawks fan base and all that they mean in a Missouri Valley conference that contends for national championships, the way they get behind their players, kind of what does that quote mean to you? And what do you think it means for Caden specifically watching fandom turn into real impact?
Yeah, I think when you look at the fan base, it's been a really fun year. You know, obviously just different excitement with everything going on. And to see the success this early has also been really exciting. And so you look at Chris Schenkel's office, for example, and, you know, the impact and the kind of the rally behind the community they've had is incredible. And, you know, we're working on getting to that point. There's a lot of people who are definitely willing to and trying to help. So we always appreciate that. And that's our goal, is just make the biggest impact. And obviously, you know, again, I think Caden's a perfect person to be able to resemble what we're trying to do. And the more people we can rally behind it, the better.
I think we've done a damn good job up until this point. Year one, just under $50,000. Year two, we almost touched $70,000. So obviously, over that $100,000 raised for children battling cancer. It's cool to see the list grow. It's cool to see the amount of money made. But all of this is being done behind the scenes. And I think behind the scenes, something that we don't get a chance to talk about as nearly as much as I want to, it's the football side of things. Caden, edge rusher for the Fighting Hawks. Caden, this is probably, and I'll say this, one of the best North Dakota teams that I've personally seen since I can remember. Now I'm only 27 years old. I played in the Missouri Valley. I played quarterback. I got beat by you guys, whether it was at Saluki Stadium or in the Alera Center. What is it about this team that has it clicking on all cylinders right now from top to bottom? What are some of the things when you go home and, you know, eat dinner and get ready for bed and you realize that you are a ball club that is tough to beat, top four in the country? Kind of why? What is it that you would point to?
Yeah, I think it's everyone on our team is just buying in. We're all buying into the plan. We have a great strength staff. We're all buying into that. We're trusting what Coach Schmidt's saying. That's a big part of it too. Some things we've expanded on too is like getting comfortable with each other, communicating. Our communication's been really well recently, which has led to success, as you guys can see. And yeah, those are some things.
5-2 should honestly be 6-1. Having to go to Manhattan and play a Kansas State squad, one of the more fun games of the entire season. FBS, FCS doesn't even matter. That ball game was fun right there. You just talked about some of the things that Schmitty tells you guys. I ask honorary captains this every single week. What is that main message? Typically when athletes, you go home on winter break and it's time for you to show back up, or, you know, you're coming from, you know, summer break into fall camp and you show up and in your locker there's a new set of shirts, shorts, socks, kicks, all of these things, and there's a message that's written on the back, or there's just a message that's going around for the new season that you guys are kind of penning. What is that for you guys this year? What do you hear every single week from your staff?
Yeah, so Coach Schmidt tells us our brand is like being a junkyard dog is what calls it, being blue collar nasty. So yeah, those are just two things that he tells us. It pretty much means like just do the dirty work, dirty hard work, and things are gonna pay out good.
I think, or I don't think, that you have to expand on what being a junkyard dog means, and it's precisely how you guys play football. I think one of the cleanest game planning staffs that I've seen in big games. You guys just typically show up. A big one on the horizon here, Indiana State. You guys cannot fall asleep at the wheel. What does that tape look like, and how excited are you guys that you get to host Indiana State here and possibly improve to 6-2?
Yeah, no, they're a good football team. We got to come, you know, how we come every week. We got to prepare the same way we've been preparing. We look at every opponent, and then like faceless, nameless opponent, we're just playing our game. Yeah.
Have you had a chance, or has Coach Schmidt kind of told you guys to hold off on reading the newspaper, all the headlines, all of the clippings? I mentioned prior, top four team in the country. Not that it's uncharted territory for you guys, but you are floating in rare air, and there are injuries going around the subdivision right now that I think your guys' chances at being, you know, national championship ready are just improving each and every week in front of all of our eyes. Have you been told to kind of not pay attention to that stuff? And have you dipped into, you know, social media and seen these things? Or are you guys just straight tunnel vision all the way up to this point as we head into week 9?
I mean, yeah, that's We're like, we focus on one game at a time. We're another thing that we say is like it's a day by day process. We're just 24 hour segments at a time. You can't like get lost and like look at the end goal, like, oh, we're going to win the national championship. No, it's a process. We got to keep winning, keep doing the things right.
JJ, I'll ask you this. You're obviously very, very, very tied into the program, but building relationships with these honorary captains that represent your office, that represent North Dakota and the university as a whole. How cool has it been to feel like you're more than just a fan, that you're more involved than you thought you would ever would be because of this whole initiative and partnership?
Yeah, I think that's probably the coolest part about, you know, you look at some of the smaller universities, right, is I feel like you can have such more of an impact versus being at such a larger space. And, you know, when obviously Coach Schmidt was announced, I think, you know, that was pretty exciting for a lot of the people here, knowing, you know, his roots here, you know, just being from this area. So I think that's been a really good, you know, just comfort for people. And so, yeah, just being involved, being able to help any way we can, and just, you know, being able to support the team, because in Grand Forks, I'm sure everyone's aware, there's not a, you know, an insane amount of stuff to do. So getting behind the university and the different athletic programs it's really fun.
There's no doubt about that. And talk about being involved. How is your relationship with Caden kind of motivated you, or should I say helped you get more involved on campus? And what are some of the things that Northwestern Mutual precisely wants to do with being more involved in creating a bigger footprint on campus? What are some of the goals coming out of this for you guys?
Yeah, I think anytime we can help support these guys too. And, you know, obviously in today's day and age, we want to keep everybody here. So anything we can do there to help support them and just show that, you know, they have community buy-in. You know, it's hard to put a dollar on some of those things too, just the support. And so, you know, the more we can be involved and have a presence, you know, whether it's through NIL or just, you know, impact getting people to games through our internship program, you know, we've been very involved with UND with that over the years. We've had a ton of different football players go through our program, and a lot of them are still advisors today. So just developing those relationships and keeping those and providing opportunities, I think, is, you know, what we're going for.
I love it. That's beautifully spoken. Having a chat here with Mr. JJ Safransky, Managing Director up there in the Dinger Network office, Grand Forks, and Caden Vig. He's a fighting hawk. He's an edge rusher. He is only a sophomore, so he will be along for the ride for us for a long time. Hey, JJ, you kind of mentioned NIL and spoke about it holistically and how it helps you guys with some of the goals out of this, where you want to be, some of the things that you could possibly get out of this. But when you think about what we're doing, and I asked Caden this prior, but what makes this different? Why is this so easy to get behind? What makes it a no-brainer? And why are we the only ones doing this?
Yeah, and I think you alluded to that, Sloan. When you think about NIL, right, you see all kinds of it. And, you know, I've kind of joked from the beginning, this is the NIL that, you know, I think this is the idea of why it was created too, right? I mean, mm-hmm. We get to support the kids. They, you know, get to interact with different people, build relationships. And at the end of the day, it's a win-win for everybody because of what we're raising money for, the cause, the impact that it has. So, you know, it's, again, we want to support UND. We want to see them win. But when it's for something like this, it's just so much easier to do it. And you get so excited when you're doing it, knowing the impact you're going
to
have.
And there's something like this that JJ is alluding to. Let me speak on the Alex Lemonade Stand Foundation. When she was one, the founder, Miss Alex Scott, the queen, as I call her every single week, was diagnosed with neuroblastoma following her fourth birthday. Put that into perspective, folks. She told her parents that she wanted to open up a lemonade stand and that her goal was to raise money to give doctors, give families a chance to find a cure for childhood cancer. A four-year-old, by the way. I think that and its sentiment is just ridiculous. And that is something that we are continuously working towards, all 17 plus athletes that we have, all managing partners, directors, everybody in recruiting fields, all of those things. We're all kind of combined in all of this. JJ, kind of talk about Northwestern Mutual and Alex Lemonade Stand Foundation, the relationship that you guys have, some of the things that you guys have accomplished, and why you've decided to dip your toe into the college football space now.
Yeah, it's always interesting to hear, you know, what they're doing corporate-wise and then the impact that we can have locally. And we've had instances over the years where we've had people locally come and share their story with us of how, you know, Alex's Lemonade Stand has impacted their story. And so it's just, again, when you hear that, it's so much easier to do that. And unfortunately, personally, like I mentioned, we've had too many bouts with these things. So it's just something that I think the more you go through life, the more things you see. Cancer in general sucks. So it's just the more we can be involved and try, you know, take the burden off people, or, you know, eventually the goal is to eradicate it, right? Continue to find the cure for different cancers. So again, I feel like the more life experience we have, it just becomes easier and easier to support something like this and try get rid of it. Cause yeah, it sucks.
Cancer sucks is one of my favorite taglines to come out of all of this, or any cancer support systems, whatever it is, wherever it is around the country. JJ, I'll start with you in asking this. Has anybody in your life, just for further perspective, for FCS Nation, and I think Fighting Hawk fans in general, because I did speak when we had liftoff here, this is about getting a chance to learn about who Caden Vig is on a deeper level, and also you, JJ Sofransky, everything that you guys are doing. Has anybody in your life directly or indirectly been affected by the damn disease?
Yeah, unfortunately, far too much. My niece is actually, when she was younger, and I think, and I forgive the age, but I think she was 6 when she had gotten diagnosed. And she has personally had some bouts with Alex's lemonade stand. So that's been, you know, really close to home there. And when we did the year with CJ, she actually came to the event and got to meet him. And that was really cool. And unfortunately, my wife now is dealing with some of the same things. So it's just becoming easier and easier to, again, support this and get behind it, because we've seen the support system we have, and not everybody has that, you know. And I think that's one of the perks of growing up in a small community and being in a small community. So just trying to provide what we can and, you know, give back what we're able to is really meaningful for us.
I appreciate you sharing that. I think it gives, like I said, further perspective and just kind of more of an understanding as to why it is you feel so passionate about this and why you are behind Caden all the way and calling upon Fighting Hawk fans to donate or just do what they can, whether it's pledging or participating in a Lemon Top Challenge, which is a little foreshadowing right there. We'll get to that just a little on down the road. Caden, what about you? Anybody in your life directly, like I said, indirectly, been affected by cancer? Cancer sucks.
Yeah, a long time ago, my grandma actually had it, so I wasn't around then, but I she told me about it, heard about it. But yeah, no, it's a terrible disease. Anything to support, trying to find the cure for it. But yeah,
it's exactly what we're doing. And JJ, I think something that comes out of this that I had brought up with another managing director on last week's episode, representing Villanova, and David Avitt, Grant Price, I talked about with him how Northwestern Mutual plays a very, and I'll say, as football fans listening who aren't as tapped into the financial services industry, underrated part when it comes to families facing hardship. We don't talk about it enough with you guys, how much Northwestern Mutual can help, because I would bet that plenty of families or plenty of people who have been affected by cancer are listening to this interview because they want to know that somebody of the team that they're a fan of is, you know, spearheading a partnership like this, cares about the things that I went through. Kind of talk about the things that Northwestern Mutual does for some of those families who, and cancer is my lead example, I've been affected by cancer and you need to plan for the future, but kind of out of that space as well, you never know when life's going to slap you in the face. And kind of just talk about what Northwestern Mutual does for some of those families, or what they can offer some of those families.
Yeah, I think at its core, you know, you think of financial planning, these are a lot of the discussions that, you know, we're having every day. I think when people think financial planning, they get excited about retirement and investing. And of course, sure, that's how it is. But the reality is, you know, when you build a house, you start with the foundation, right? You pour the cement, whatever it may be. And I think that's the core of a good financial plan, is planning for the what ifs. And as much as we hope they never happen, it's just, that's the reality of the world we live in, the what ifs. So, you know, again, unfortunately, that's probably too close to home, or really close to home for us, just because we've had a lot of clients impacted by it. But it's also very cool to be on the other end of it when you know the impact you can have on these families by planning and just, you know, being prepared for the what ifs. So it's a really rewarding career. Sometimes, again, they're not fun conversations, but it's just, that's the reality of the world we live in.
Speaking of preparing and preparation, guys, Caden's age, and I mentioned Caden's only a sophomore, so he has more years to go in college, but for some of his older teammates, it's time for them to start preparing for life after football. It's a conversation, again, I think is just grossly underrated and it's not spoken about enough, but a gold tier internship program, one of the best in the entire country, just consistently ranked inside the top 10, most places top 5. I think one of the coolest stats that I see is that 90% of people who come in and out of it walk out of it saying that it changed their entire life in the course of their career and whatever it is that they decide to do, whether it's the financial services industry or whether they are a tow truck driver, right? It just really doesn't matter. But that internship program kind of speak to why it is, I'll say, the best in the country.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's real world experience, right? Like, you're not fetching papers, fetching coffee. You're out there doing real things with real people and having real conversations. And regardless if, you know, you keep doing it or stay in the industry, I don't think there's somebody that leaves and says, well, you know, I didn't learn anything. That was, you know, most of the time you're taking away real life examples and practical advice that you're going to apply to your own situation. And so for me, I never thought I was going to be a certified financial planner when I was in college. And, you know, here we are. And so I think it just gave me the opportunity to see if it were something I liked, and, you know, the ability to help people, impact people, just get to be around people every day. That's something that drives me. So there's very few days where I wake up and I'm not excited to go to the office. And I think that's, you know, a pretty cool thing to say.
Another one of my favorite stats is 1 in 5 advisors for Northwestern Mutual Anywhere are former athletes themselves, former college athletes, most of them. Kind of, in your words, why is that?
I think a lot of the same, you know, features or maybe traits, attributes, whatever you'd refer to it as, that it takes to be a college athlete, especially say even Division I in Caden's case, is, you know, it's very applicable to this career, right? Discipline, hard work, developing relationships, trust, all of those attributes are very similar. So I feel like they transfer over to a lot of different industries very well, because, you know, that's what it takes to be successful in a lot of these careers.
And if you were given a microphone and stood in front of an audience, an auditorium full of Caden's teammates, classmates, attendees at North Dakota, what would be some of the things that you would tell them for, like I said, they could be classmates, so it's not life after football, but it's life after college and it's life after athletics. Kind of what would be some of the call outs to the 18, 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old aged kids who are kind of embarking on new journeys sooner or later? Why is an internship program something they should pursue?
Life comes at you fast. That graduation date's going to be here before you know it. And it's a little bit scary or, you know, nervy when you don't know what's going to happen next. So I think the more experience you have, the more, you know, connections you develop with people, there's just going to be more opportunities. And you never know when those are going to come to fruition. So, you know, get out there, put yourself out there, get exposed to different industries, different careers, people, whatever it may be. You're never going to look back and be upset that you did it.
Poetry in motion right there for managing director up there in the Dinger Network office, Mr. JJ Safrance, getting alongside him, honorary captain of the week. Part one, part two. Caden Vig, edge rusher, North Dakota Fighting Hawks. I want to take somewhat of a U-turn here because we had a conversation off air before we got rolling that I myself am a former quarterback for the Southern Illinois Salukis, and Caden and his unit went to Saluki Stadium in Carbondale and just absolutely dog-walked my dogs, 38-19. Caden, let's talk about that game, kind of coming into it. This is obviously a really, really good offense you had to face and a really good quarterback in DJ Williams. What were you guys able to do? What were you guys able to plan ahead of time that allowed you guys to have success? And like I said, dog walk my guys.
Yeah. So offensively, our run game, it's top tier. Our run blocking is ranked top five. I think it's actually ranked top one. I think we're top in the country for run blocking, but
can I stop you right there? Because your offensive line coach was my offensive line coach at Southern Illinois, Trevor Olson. So you guys took our offensive line coach and now beat the Salukis in their own stadium and outgained him on the ground, and Seattle went crazy. Just wanted to throw that in there. A huge fan of Trevor Olson, one of my favorite guys of all time. He's a grumpy old man, but go continue with your thing. Yeah, you have the number one rushing offense. I appreciate it. That's great.
Yeah. That helps us a lot, though, for offense to get rolling. Big thing in the Missouri Valley Conference, you got to be able to run the football. It helps, too, to have a great offensive line coach like Coach Olson. But yeah, defensively, big thing for us was just we got to spy that quarterback. He was a quick guy, can't let him get out of the pocket. So that was our game plan there. Kind of just let it rip too, you know, got to be explosive, stuff like that. Credit to their O-line though. They were they're very, very tough O-line. I'd give them that.
Okay. If that's the only thing you can give them, that's okay. We can give them, okay, good offensive line. They gave up a fight.
They were tough.
I love to hear it. Well, you held them to 19 points. Nobody's really done that in the entire season, not even a Purdue FBS team. So congrats. And you guys are 5-2, like I said, Indiana State. You can close yours when I say this, 6-2. But then you get into the thick of it. When I look at this schedule, you guys travel to Vermilion, have to take on the Coyotes, and then you invite The other North Dakota squad into your house, ultimate number one team in the country right now, just a complete wagon. When you and then South Dakota State is soon after that. So, kind of, how does a team in the Missouri Valley and what are some of the things that you guys are coached on and told about just week by week? I know you touched on it a little bit earlier, but the Missouri Valley, call it what you want. I do love throwing around the phrase that it is the SEC of the FCS. And as we kind of get away from the SEC dominance here, it's the Big Ten. I had an honorary captain say, well, it's not. It was Eddie Casper, actually wide receiver for Illinois State, said, well, I like to call the Missouri Valley the Big Ten of the FCS because that's the stronger unit over there. But when you see the North Dakota States and the South Dakota States and the South Dakotas on your schedule, kind of what is it, like, how do you compartmentalize that those guys are on the way? And I talked about, you guys are probably the best team that you've been since I can remember. And kind of what is your mindset when facing the kind of the Titans of the FCS that are right in your backyard?
Yeah. No, it's always a huge game playing the Dakotas. When Dakotas play games, they're always huge, right? But we just got to stay consistent. Like we look at every game, nameless, faceless opponents is how we do it. It doesn't matter who we're playing. We're just going to play our style of defense, our style of offense. But yeah.
Junkyard dog style, if I may, there from Caden Vig and his Fighting Hawks. Listen, I talked about there being a way to not have to pull out your wallet to donate to the cause, to donate to JJ and the Dinger Network office. And Caden Vig, he is a representative in all of this. One of those ways, aforementioned, the Lemon Top Challenge. JJ, kind of take fans through how they can donate to Caden and you and the cause without pulling out their wallets.
Yeah, so if we're going to be releasing here soon, if you guys take a picture with a lemon on your head, and there's going to be certain hashtags, the Northwestern Foundation will actually donate money directly to Caden's page on your behalf. So be on the lookout for that. We'll appreciate all the support there. And then for the NDSU game, we're actually going to be putting on, we're of course out there tailgating every game, but we're going to do a little bit of a fundraiser for Caden page too for that game. So, you know, we're any of the free will donation, we'll have the lemons for pictures, that'll all be donated to Caden's page.
It's epic stuff right there. And you can go to FCSNationRadio.com, and on the right hand side of the screen, Alex's Lemonade Stand, they have their entire wing, their own wing dedicated to them and the cause and all of our athletes on that list. You can go there, you can click donate, pledge, or you can just check the standings and see, hey, does my guy need an extra bump? Okay, I will donate, and it's greatly appreciated. Obviously, guys like Caden Vig and 16 others around the country have dedicated their entire season to stomping out childhood cancer and trying to figure out a way to ultimately put an end to it / find a cure. That are some of the things that we are doing. JJ, that's going to do it for the Honorary Captain of the Week segment. I will start with you, my friend. I cannot thank you enough, seriously, for all you've done up to this point and all you've done for Caden and getting us in the position that we're in. I said it's year three. It's season three. We ain't going anywhere anytime soon. Appreciate you for taking time out of your week to chop it up with FCS Nation.
Yeah, no, and we appreciate the partnership. We're happy to be here, and hopefully we can continue this success, Caden, and we're excited to see what the rest of the season brings.
And Caden, for you, I can't thank you enough, my friend, as well. You are an FOS. You are a friend of the show. You are a sophomore, so we will be hearing from you a lot more. Caden, thank you so much for taking time out of your game week before you go beat up Indiana State to chop it up with FCS Nation and give Fighting Hawk fans kind of an opportunity to learn about who you are as a person, not on the field. Okay, and thank you so much for joining the show this week.
Thank you.
And that's going to do it for the Honorary Captain of the Week segment. Two-pronged, two guys, one driver, one riding shotgun, JJ Safransky, Managing Director in the Dinger Network office, and Caden Vig, edge rusher for North Dakota.
You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network.
That brings us to the end of another episode of FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network. FCS Nation is produced by and co-hosted by Mr. Stone Labanowitz. I'm executive producer and host Kevin Marshall, thanking you for making FCS Nation a small part of your football week. And like I always do, y'all, I'd like to remind you that life's a lot like football. You play by the rules and the penalties won't kill you. Until next week, so long, everybody.
You're listening to FCS Nation on the Palmetto Radio Network.